Lord, we thank you as always. The entrance of your word brings light. And as we share the love of God this morning, may someone experience his love anew today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there was a story I told on this platform, a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple of times. That story comes to mind again today. There was a man who was a pastor in a local parish, and they had the little church building always open for prayer. And people came in all the time when they had a burden in their heart. And they would just come in, spend some time there and pray. Sometimes the pastor would reach out to them, pray with them, and so on. And one day this little girl came in the building. And she was just about 5 or 6 years old. And as she's standing there, and the pastor sees her, comes close to her and say, "What aileth you today?" And the little girl says, "Well, nothing, sir. I just come to love on the Lord. I just come to love on the Lord a little." My goodness. And the man was almost blown away because he had never heard any such thing. They had opened that building every day and people come in there when they have burdens in their hearts. Never been any time anyone came in there and say, "I just want to love the Lord a little. That's why I'm here." They're always there when they had an issue, when they had a problem, when they had some situation. This little girl, she didn't have any situation. She just wanted to love on the Lord a little. My goodness. I want you to cast your mind back today. Glory to God. I'm casting my mind back today. And I want to read you a story from the scriptures. In the book of Luke chapter 7. Read this story here today. And bring out a point that Jesus made. There was a time that, he humbled himself to visit people, even in the days of his earthly ministry. When people invited him, he would go. Well, that's a lot to be said for the master. And I wish those who are in positions of authority over the flock would do the same today. Jesus always went when they invited him. And so this one time, there was this man that invited him. And he went, It was actually a Pharisee. and Jesus didn't quite care too much for those Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. But nevertheless, if one of them invited him, he would go. So this one of these guys, Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. One of these Pharisees invited him. And so Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Glory to God. That picture alone right there. But Jesus said, "I am not come for the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." Well, and you know how Jesus used to, talk against those Pharisees because of their self-righteousness, because they held the traditions of men more than the commandments of God, because they were more after appearances than what was on the inside. Jesus lambasted them all the time. Matthew chapter 23. Most of the whole chapter was talking about the scribes and Pharisees. Ye whited sepulchres and so on. Look good on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. And there are many, many stories against the Pharisees that Jesus told, like the one in Luke chapter 18. Scripture says that Jesus told this story because of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And said, two men went to pray, and there was one of them who was a publican, as a known, you know, tax collector, and everybody called them sinners. And there was a Pharisee, the self-righteous. And the Pharisee stood and prayed within himself and said, Lord God, I thank you because I'm not like other men, not like that man over there, you know, that sinner over there and so forth. You know, I do the right thing. You know, I pray all the time. I fast twice a week. I give alms of all I possess. I do this. I do that. You know, and he just, you know, boasted within himself. In fact, Jesus said the man prayed within himself. And then the other man couldn't even lift up his head in prayer. And he smote upon his breast and said, Lord God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said, verily I tell you, this one who was counted out went home justified more than the other. And Jesus began to tell many things, you know, in those stories throughout his ministry. He told many things, such things like that. Well, in this particular story, Jesus went into one of the houses of these Pharisees, nonetheless, because he invited him. So anybody that invites the Lord, he said, look, I will in no wise cast out whosoever comes to me. If you invite him, he'll come. The reason he doesn't come is because people don't invite him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Invite him in and he will come. Well, he sat at meat, and then there was a woman in the city which was a sinner. You know, now Jesus was not the one writing this thing. Luke was writing it. And this was the concept that everybody thought of that woman, that she was a sinner. As if the others were not sinners. It was a sinner, you know, and the way they used that terminology was that, you know, today you might call her a hooker or whatever she did, you know, but she was a sinner and everybody knew it. And she came, when she heard that Jesus was in the house, she came and brought, you know, an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with her tears. And she wiped them down with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which bade him to his house, saw what was happening, he said within himself, this man, if we were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that's touching him. But she is a sinner. And if he were a prophet, he would have known that. And so, but now, you know, he said this inside his heart. He didn't say it out. He said it in his mind. Thought it in his mind. You know, and despised the whole situation. Looked upon the situation with disdain. And then Jesus, knowing his thoughts, said unto him, you know, I have somewhat to say to you, Simon. The man's name was Simon. And he said, Master, say on. And he said, well, there was a certain creditor, you know, who loaned people money and all of that. And he had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now tell me, which one of the two would love him more? And Simon answered and said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, thou hast rightly judged. And then he turned unto the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman here? When I entered into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. And she had wiped down my feet with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss when I came in, no hug, nothing. But this woman, since I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My oil you have not, my head you have not anointed with oil. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Behold, I say unto you, he said, wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiving her for she loved much. See, but Jesus brought out a lesson here. He said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I should dare say, to whom much is forgiven, loveth much. A lot of self-righteous people today don't love the Lord too much. Because, you know, I mean, they were always righteous, they thought. There was really nothing, you know, that the Lord had done too much for them. But the people who were condemned, even within themselves, who knew they were sinners and everything, they began to break off their sins by their loving the Lord and reaching out to him and loving on him. It's like this woman did. And Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. You know, at the time that she was weeping, you know, she was condemned within herself. But Jesus didn't condemn her. She was the one that condemned herself. But thank God for the grace of the Holy Spirit there to convict her the right way. Holy Spirit doesn't go about condemnation, but conviction. But she had condemned herself within herself because society had already condemned her. But look at what Jesus did. Jesus frankly forgave her all her sins. And the Lord goes on here to say that, look, those who are forgiven much, they would love much. You know, one time Paul said, you know, I was chief of these sinners. Because he knew what he had done, how he persecuted the household of faith in the church of God. And when Jesus turned him around, he went all the way. He was all in. I mean, he put his life in jeopardy. Even when he was warned that, look, they're going to do these things to you at Jerusalem and so forth. He said, I know it. I don't care. You know, and he walked more than anybody else. Because he knew where he came from. He knew what he had done. And he knew how much God had forgiven him. And he was going to do everything he can to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. My goodness. You know, the Lord, there's many stories like this in the Bible that show the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of John chapter 8, I've told this story on this platform a few times. They brought this woman in the midst of adultery. And she was already condemned. And they said, well, Moses said we should stone her, but what say you? And of course, at the end of the day, the Lord said to the woman, where are your accusers? When Jesus said, let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. One by one, they left. And Jesus said, where are they that accused you and condemned you? And they said, no man is here, Lord. And he said, Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now that go and sin no more part is critical. But that's what Jesus said. Grace when this woman was condemned. Grace for the one that was called a sinner. Grace for the one that was found in the midst of adultery. And these people went on to love the Lord. My goodness. There are times when your life has been shattered and broken in pieces. And the mercy of God picked you up. Well, that's my story. You know, that's my story. I was going nowhere. But grace of God. The love of God found me. It's a song we used to sing back then. Say, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Love found me when I was in sin. Listen to this in the book of Romans, chapter 5. We read from verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Well, God commended his love toward me. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Is that your testimony here? And if that's your testimony here today, let us think of that goodness. I love the song that says, when I think of his mercy. I played that song at the beginning of the room today. Who am I, Lord? I'm not even worthy to sing his praise. I'm not worthy to, you know, I mean, of anything. But by his grace and mercy alone. Not of works of righteousness that we have done. But by his grace and mercy alone. We can't forget this, folks. I mean, sometimes we get so carried away in ourselves, you know, in trying to be whatever it is we're trying to be, that we forget. We forget to take time out to love on the Lord for what he has done for us. And so I want us to take time out today. And when your life was broken and in pieces, he picked you up. It was the mercy and grace of God. I picked you up. You know, there are many stories in the Bible that the mercy of God will find someone and still pick them up, no matter where they are. You know, the prodigal son, you know his story. When he came back, he was condemned of himself, even within himself. He was already condemned. And he said, well, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is what I'm going to say when I get there. Just make me like, you know, just one of the hired servants. I've lost my sonship because of all the things I did. But the father said, my lands, my son is back. Glory. And he threw the biggest party that anybody ever seen. I mean, took off the dirty robe, you know, the filthy rags, got him all cleaned up, decked him out. Hallelujah. Put upon him his ring and everything. Killed for him the fatted cow and all of that. And he made celebration. Of course, self-righteous older servant, I mean older brother, didn't like it at all. Says to the father, you know, why are you making all these ruckus? Why all this noise and everything? And he said, well, your brother who was lost has come home. The man said, well, this your son, see, already distanced himself from him. This your son who took all your living and wasted it with riotous living. He come back and you do this for him. What about me? I've been here the whole time. I've been all righteous, do all your commandments and everything. I never done anything wrong. You never gave me nothing. Father said, well, son, it was already all yours, because this other one took his and left. Whatever I had left was yours. You didn't take it. But this, your brother, was lost. So we're going to rejoice. Glory to God. You know, people, sometimes it's self-righteous religious systems. They don't care that anybody comes back home. All they care about is what they had done. This, your son, who had wasted his substance, your substance, with riotous living, and he's going to come back now, and you're going to throw him a party? And Jesus said, look, there is more joy in heaven over one person that had gone astray that comes back home. Glory to God. That ought to make you shout. That day you came back home to the Lord, there was tremendous joy in heaven. Heaven rejoiced. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there was a story in the Bible of Abraham, his wife Sarah. Sarah couldn't have a child. You know, we know the story. And, you know, she wanted Abraham to go into Hagar, which he did, and, you know, had a child by her and everything. And then that one began to despise Sarah. So Sarah said, well, get rid of this woman. Send her out of here, you know, because she despises me and so on. So Abraham was sore displeased because Ishmael was also his son. But the Lord said to him, well, you know, do what your wife said. You know, go ahead, cast out the bondwoman. And Abraham cast her out. And the bondwoman was there in distress. You know, she went into the desert. She went into the wilderness. And she was in distress. And there really wasn't too much that she could do for her child. She was about to die, you know, and everything like that. And both of them were about to die in the desert. The angel of the Lord came upon them, or came to them, you know. And when the Bible say that the, you know, God heard the voice of the lad was crying, you know, crying out in the wilderness. You can read this story in Genesis 21. And they were condemned, already cast out. They were disinherited and everything. Because Sarah said, no, not in my house. I gave you a chance to do something, but now you rise up against me and so get out of here. But yet the angel of the Lord found this woman in her distress. Found her when she was, you know, in the wilderness with her son about to die. And said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. Voice of the lad where he's at. I mean, she didn't bear to look at him. You know, she just left him, you know, to die and moved off a little bit because she wasn't going to watch him die. Genesis 21 and 17. And the Lord spoke comfortably unto her. Picked up the pieces. You know, the Lord, he's always there to pick up the pieces. To help you pick up the pieces. He's always there reaching out to people, even on the cross. The thief that was condemned, finished, crucified already, bleeding out to die. My goodness. And yet Jesus, because of the words that the man spoke, he said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, well, you got it. This day, and Jesus didn't start counting all of the things that man had already done and how he has to repent of each one of them one by one. Jesus didn't say any of that stuff. He just looked at the man. He saw his heart at that moment that he called out for God's mercy. And Jesus said, that's it, you got it. Today, you will be with me in paradise, not going to the place. You're coming with me. My goodness. When I think of the goodness of the Lord, I think of the place where he brought me from. Some of us forget to look back. You know, some of us who should be in jail or prison right now, you know, but the Lord, he picked you up. He covered you. Glory to God. With the border of his skirt, like a king's man redeemer, he covered you. The Lord has covered many of us from shame and disgrace. When our life was going nowhere, he pulled us out. We ought to praise and we ought to thank him. And today, when we look back on where we were and where God pulled us from, our heart ought to rejoice and praise Him. And if you know that the Lord has forgiven you much, then you ought to love Him even much. That's the story we read. He that is forgiven more, a lot more, they love even more. But they that feel that, well, you know, I was always a good person anyway, then, you know, they have very little gratitude for the Lord. And their life has very little to show for it. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want us to take a reflection back and see where your life was at. When your life was scattered, broken in pieces, when you had nothing going for you, see how He loved you. Glory to God. And many of us have done, I mean, some people, you know, they've had a rough life. You know, they've made mistakes in their lives, in their marriages, got divorced, everything like that. The religious system would never forgive them. Put a stigma on them and everything. But the Lord is there picking up the pieces. Picking up the pieces. Putting it all back together for you. And look at you today. Glory to God. You know, God doesn't hold any of those things over your head. You know, as long as you came to Him for His mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from thee. I am the Lord. I blotted out your transgressions for my own sake, not for the sake of anybody else. You know, one time, John, he cried much because he found nobody. In fact, nobody was found in heaven, on earth, or anywhere else. So open the book and lose the seals, you know. But it turned out that it was the Lamb, after all. And aren't you glad that the Lord is the one that holds the scorecard? I mean, if your scorecard was in the hands of any of these religious leaders, you'd never make it to heaven. You would never make it in. They'd leave you wounded like that. They'd even, you know, twist the dagger. You know, one time Jesus told a story. Told a story in Luke chapter 10. And he said, well, there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way, he was attacked by armed robbers. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you from Nigeria always talk about armed robbers attacking people and so forth. It's nothing new. They did it even in the Bible. They attacked this man, you know, and strip him of everything he had, wounded him and left him for dead. And as he was dying away, behold, you know, two religious leaders came by. You know, they came by that place and they saw him. And what did they do? Well, Jesus said, well, they just passed by the wayside. They looked at him, and Jesus told this story because of the question the man asked, well, who is my neighbor and all of that. You know, so, you know, the priest came by, a certain priest came by the way, looked at the man, passed by the other side, left him wounded like that. Well, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. This story is in Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 30. But a certain Samaritan, now the Samaritans were narrowly looked upon. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't even care for the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, they were considered second-class citizens. And when they wanted to insult you, they called you a Samaritan. when they wanted to insult Jesus, they said, well, did we not say that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? So calling somebody a Samaritan was a tremendous insult. There were people looked down upon. They had no dealings with the Jews. And so this Samaritan came. He saw the wounded man and had compassion on him. Hallelujah. But the religious leaders left the man wounded like that. Yet this man, who was a total stranger, who was somebody despised, he was the one that showed compassion. And why did the religious leader do what they did? Well, there are many reasons they could have done that. First, this man went from Jerusalem towards Jericho. The man, they could have said, you know, you should have stayed in Jerusalem. It was the house of God. What business you have going towards Sin City? But Jericho was Sin City in those days. And Jerusalem was the house of God. You should have stayed there, you know, and none of this would have befallen you. But, you know, you had an opportunity. You made your choice. You made your bed. So you live in it. You know, you went away from the house of God. You went towards Sin City. And now this evil befell you. So you deal with it. It's your problem. You know, get yourself cleaned up and come back to Jerusalem when you are all cleaned up. How in the world is he going to clean himself up? Or they could have also thought whatever religious ritual they were going to go perform was more important than for them to stop and cater to the wounded. But they left him wounded. They had no compassion. And yet they were the religious leaders. They were the Levite. They were the priest. I mean, can you imagine? They left this man wounded like that. That's what we see in today's sad, sad story. But Jesus would never leave anybody wounded like that. He would never do it. His love will find you. And his love found you even during your darkest hours. He found you. You know it. Glory to God. He found you during your darkest hours. My goodness. And here today, he found me. And here I am to worship. Here I am to say, Lord, you are my God. Here I am, Lord, today to say your love found me. When I was astray and lost, when my life was broken and shattered in pieces, his mercy picked me up. You know, the Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And we talked about verses of mercy the other day. I look into my life and I say, look, you know, I don't know why he loved me. But I'm glad he did. I don't know why he died for me. But I'm glad he did. I don't know why I'm not even worthy. But yet he pleased him. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, I look into my life. This may be your story too. And the great things you stumbled. But yet, he picked you up. I look at my life today. I was, when I was a young man, you know, I had no clue of life. Just going about doing whatever. But yet, he found me. And his love, my goodness. And his love has never failed. And I can look back now and say, look, well, am I the most qualified to do what the Lord has called me to do now? Of course not. But, you know, as it has been said, and the Lord doesn't necessarily pick those who are qualified or call those who are qualified, but he qualifies those whom he calls. Even as he said in the book of John chapter 15, he told them, He said, look, in verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you. Glory to God. That you should go forth and bring forth much fruit. Who am I, Lord, that you should choose me? Who am I, Lord, that you should ordain me to bring forth fruit? But here I am. You know, by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And by his grace also, I will not frustrate that grace. Hallelujah. Now, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now, this grace does not teach us to continue in sin so that the grace can abound, like some people say. No. Contrarywise, the grace of God constrains us to love him. The love that we show to him is our response to his grace. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus told in the story. This woman, she loved much because of all her sins. That's why she's doing what she's doing. And her sins are forgiven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you do not look upon our past. You did not look upon when our life was broken and in shambles and in pieces. But you picked us up. Now, if that's you today, I pray and I hope that this message touches your heart for you to want to give his praise all the time. Give him praise all the time. And make yourself available to him because of the great things that he has done in turning your life around. If you are forgiven much, then you love him much. Glory to God. But you know, if you were somebody that thought, well, you know, I didn't need much forgiveness anyway, you know, because I was always good, then maybe you love him just a little bit. But I thank God for his goodness. I thank God because his love found me when no one else would. I thank God because his light came unto me when I was in darkness. Hallelujah. And I thank God because his mercy picked me up when my life was in pieces. And here I am today. Glory to God. Not only has he loved us with an everlasting love, he crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And while John wept much because there was nobody found worthy, yet there was one that could do it. Because he was the one that paid the price. Hallelujah. And he is the one with whom we have to do. And thank God that Jesus didn't put the scales and the balances in the hands of anybody else. Otherwise, nobody would let you in. But Jesus says, come on in. Hallelujah. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Though your sins say, come and let us reason together. I'm talking to everybody that may be listening to this today. Don't waste another moment if you haven't come to the Lord. And when you come, cast it all upon him. Glory to God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening in today. Those that are here right now. Those that may be listening in later on. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. And thank you for the life that your life that you laid down for us. Thank you that your love found me and your mercy picked me up. Glory to God. And you never since that time left me alone. Your grace is still holding me up. Thank you, Jesus. that grace of God, His grace is keeping me. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have enjoyed this grace. And I pray for others that have not yet realized the grace of God in their lives. May their hearts be touched as they listen to this today, and as they listen to testimonies that will follow, and to know that there's only one name that is given under heaven by which we must be saved. He is the stone which the builders rejected, but he has become the head of the corner, and he's the one that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and you are heavy laden, all ye whose lives are broken and scattered in pieces, and I'll put it all together. And whosoever will come to me, I will in no wise cast him out, but I will raise him up at the last day. Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise and honor in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because of the great love wherein you have loved us. Me, especially. Who am I, Lord? You know, what manner of love, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and 1, that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Well, I'm making it personal. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me that I should be called a son of God. What manner of love? He never left me wounded like that. Oh no. But he picked me up. May the Lord's love and mercy that he has shown upon you in your life, may he enable you, you know, to live for him and never look back. Glory to God. The Lord is the one that I picked you up. A spoken flax and a broken reed, we are told. You know, a bruised reed he will not break. Isaiah 42 and verse 3. And the smoking flax, it will not quench. In other words, the piece that was already almost broken, he's not going to break it. Unlike the religious leader that will step right down on you, stomp you down, and leave you wounded like that. A smoking flax that is ready to die, he's not going to quench it. But he's going to reignite something in you. Glory to God. The love of God constraineth us. Does his love and his mercy, do these constrain you to love him even more? I give him all praise. I give him all glory. In Jesus' name, for what he's done in my life. That's my testimony. He brought me out of the miry clay. Put my feet on the rock to stay. And he gave me a beautiful song in my mouth. Caused my head to no longer be bowed. But now I can lift up my head in the praises of our God. Every praise belongs to him. I give him glory and honor. And I pray for myself as I pray for others in this room. And may we live worthy of that calling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, that's my share this morning. I want to invite you to come. I want you to give a testimony of how his love found you and how his mercy picked up the pieces in your life. Your life that were broken and scattered, going nowhere. and how his mercy picked you up. Well, if that's you in this room this morning and you want to love on the Lord a little bit, well, let's hear it. Let others hear it too. You know, but I mean, if the Lord hasn't done anything for you or not too much, then maybe you don't have much to say. But if you have something to say, then don't be silent here this morning. Let's hear your testimony. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the room. Like I said, a little bit different this morning, but let's love on the Lord a little. If you are in the audience and you want to give a praise to the Lord, a testimony of your, you know, conversion, that's what I want to hear this morning. How the Lord found you when you were nowhere and how his mercy pulled you out. That's what we want to talk about this morning, you know. So your testimony should be along those lines. We have time to give testimonies for all kinds of things which we have been doing in this room, but that's not the one I want to hear about today. I want us to remember where we came from when we were nothing and we were in darkness and how he pulled you out. And not only that, he saved you, gave you the Holy Spirit, and look at you now. You are a new creature. That's the testimony we want to share this morning. Everybody that calls themselves a believer ought to have that testimony. You know, so let's hear it. What is that thing, unique thing that the Lord did for you? Who were you? And where are you now? Well, one man said, well, once, this is all I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was a sinner going nowhere, but now I am saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. So let's hear it.